This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, a change in the lineup again. Tony off like he was yesterday. He is recovering from some minor surgery, I am told. I'm sure he'll be back on Monday. John Stashower, happy to be filling in on this Friday morning SportsMap Radio. Ron Culver is in the house. We'll talk to him shortly. I was on yesterday and finished the show saying, hey, you know, if you haven't watched any college basketball this year, which is, I think, true of a lot of people, more so than in other years, you know, it might be a night to do so, because I thought the top three teams in the nation were all playing, including the two undefeateds. Little did I know that the game between Baylor and West Virginia had been canceled. Welcome to college basketball in 2021, when you never even know if there's... I mean, I just looked at the schedule, and, it happens every night. So that Baylor didn't play. Gonzaga did, won again, 23-0. And I think it's going to be the big story coming to the NCAA tournament. Oh, by the way, March, you know, starts on Monday, so Selection Sunday, March 14th. Look, we've been through this before with Gonzaga. You know, remember when they were the Cinderella, and they're not a Cinderella anymore. People will dismiss them, saying, oh, they played this week's schedule. Early in the year, they beat Kansas. They beat West Virginia, who's a good team. They beat Iowa, who's a really good team, although they didn't look good last night. They beat Virginia, who's probably the best team in the ACC. They beat Virginia by 23. Now, they were supposed to play Baylor. That game got canceled. That would have been good to see. I don't know if Gonzaga's going to win the national championship or even get to the Final Four. They could certainly get knocked off, but they're legitimate. It's amazing what Mark Few's done out there in little Spokane, where he gets these guys, and they're a powerhouse, and they're undefeated. And Michigan did play, and they're now 17-1. Right? They had to go 3 weeks without playing a game. And they're playing an Iowa team that's ranked ninth in the country, and they beat them in the second half, 47-28. And Luka Garza of Iowa is one of the best players in the nation. They hold him to 15. So Michigan's legitimate. You know, when they hired Juwan Howard, you thought of guys who were NBA players and get these college jobs and don't do well. Chris Mullen, St. John's. I remember that Houston hired Clyde Drexler. Howard had some coaching experience. He had been an NBA assistant. He's crushing it at Michigan. So big wins for those two last night. All right, quarterbacks maybe on the move. We'll talk about it coming up. One wants to move, one may, says he doesn't, but probably does.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
John Stashower pinch hitting. He made the announcement, so it is now official. So I was here yesterday, and we talked about, Ron Culver and I talked about this, what could be crazy NFL offseason, especially quarterback shuffles. Look, we've already had starting quarterbacks get traded for each other, guys who were first overall picks. Pretty unusual with Stafford and Goff, and Carson Wentz now going from Philadelphia to Indianapolis. But I kind of dismissed the Adam Schefter prediction that there could be more than 18 teams with some kind of a quarterback change in this offseason. That seemed awfully high. And yet, one team that I put in the column of, oh no, they won't make a change, would be the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I know Russell Wilson had gone on a radio show, the Dan Patrick Show, and surprised some people with some comments that he made, alluding to some unhappiness in Seattle, unhappy about getting hit so often, which is legitimate. He does get hit a lot. They've never had a good offensive line there. But the Seahawks management dismissed any idea that, you know, they might trade Russell Wilson. But yesterday comes news from his agent. And obviously, this was a leaked story by the agent. He wanted this to get out there. And it was kind of a weird, release, because the agent was quick to point out that Russell Wilson is not making a trade demand. But if he were going to get traded, here are the four teams he would go to. A friend of mine tweeted this out, Ron. He said it's like saying, I don't want to get divorced. I don't want to divorce my wife. But if I did, these would be four women that I would like to be, maybe be interested in.
Yeah, and in my experience, that goes over really well. Right? I've always heard positive outcomes from a husband who says that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Nothing but positive. So it was weird. It was almost as if he does want to get traded, but he doesn't want to come off looking like that bad guy who demands a trade, you know, in the middle of a four-year, $140 million contract. So, I mean, it's like either say it or don't. Either come out and you want to be Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, and we'll get to that, reiterated his desire to get traded after meeting for the first time with his new coach, David Culley. At least we know where he stands. And you can criticize Watson, and I think a lot of people have, and I've certainly got some questions about the way he's gone about this, but at least we know where he stands. Wilson is this wishy-washy thing. And, you know, when you look at it, Ron, I understand. All right, you get hit a lot, and you've been there a lot, and apparently he wants some more input into personnel, which is unusual for a player, but, you know, I can maybe understand you're the star quarterback. You maybe could be consulted on some things. He wants to throw the ball more often. Look, these you have the right to have opinions and feel that way. What I'm just wondering is, does he understand that he has, you know, he may have some quibbles with some things going on in Seattle, but he's had it pretty good there. You know, and he's a big reason why. But they've been successful. They've been to the playoffs 8 of the last 9 years. He's won 9 playoff games. He won a Super Bowl. He almost won 2. And the teams that he has said that he would go to, that's what really surprised me. You really want to go to the Raiders? They've gone like, in the last 19 years, the Raiders have played 1 playoff game, and they lost it. You know, you want to go to the Bears? Bears haven't won a playoff game in 10 years. You want to go to the Cowboys? Cowboys haven't been to a conference championship game in 25 years. You know, Seattle's in there every year. I mean, the Saints have been good with Breeze, but they've only been to 1 Super Bowl. So the grass is not always greener. I don't think Wilson's going to get traded. People are thinking, let's see what happens in 2021. And then maybe after that, what do you think, Ron? Were you Russell Wilson going to be a Seahawk next year or not?
Yes. I can't see. I mean, well, I say yes, but then I would not be surprised if the Seahawks decided to move him. Just because that seems to kind of be the way things go now. And I wouldn't know where he would go. I don't know what for he would, you know, what the price would be. But I feel that, yeah, Russell Wilson's going to be a Seahawk next year. I mean, it's a good team. And the Seahawks.
It's a team that's got some issues. They're not, you know, they're not without their faults. And
right.
We saw them in the second half of last year. Remember Wilson, much was made of the fact that he in his career had never gotten a single vote for MVP. And then all of a sudden by midseason, everybody, well, he's got the MVP wrapped up. Well, I don't think he got a vote. Because Aaron Rodgers, you know, way surpassed him. Mahomes way surpassed him. He didn't play well. The team didn't play well second half of the season. And apparently the Athletic has this report that he stormed out of a meeting because they were dismissing his suggestions on how to fix the offense. I mean, it is true. You know, Brady and Belichick went together for 20 years, which is amazing. And eventually, you know, Brady got tired of Belichick, which you can understand. Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll have been together a long time. And it's not surprising that maybe sometimes you need a change. You know, you need to hear a different voice. And Pete Carroll's a player's coach. Most people like playing for him, but it sounds like Russell may be getting a little tired of playing for Pete Carroll. And like you said, usually, and we'll see what happens with Watson, but you get to these situations like, all right, you know, if you're the left guard and you demand a trade, they're not going to, you know, you want to go, just sit out and we won't pay you. We'll get someone else to play your position. Quarterbacks are different. They have leverage. They have clout. And they don't have to trade him, obviously. He's under contract. But do you want an unhappy quarterback? Isn't that destructive for the team? That's what Houston has to be thinking about now with Watson and maybe Seattle as well.
Yeah, and then with Houston's situation, I mean, technically, yeah, the Texans don't have to do anything. They, you know, they own the rights to Deshaun Watson. They don't have to move him if they don't want to. If he sits out, fine. They're not going to pay him. But they run the risk. I think, I mean, they're fine right now to not do anything until draft. I think once the draft happens, then they run the risk of not getting a great return because they could get a king's ransom for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and, you know, I wrote down the I don't know if it's on the Peter King Monday morning QB column on NBCSports.com, and I'm going to talk about that because he's got some interesting scenarios of trade scenarios for Watson where I understand the idea you would be crazy to trade a star quarterback, but he's got scenarios where the Texans would be getting an awful lot in return. We'll get to that. I guess the big question in all of this is this whole idea of players demanding trades in the middle of a contract.
Yeah, it feels like the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, we had it. You had it right there in Houston with James Harden. What do you have, 3 years left? Now, in fairness to Harden, I'm okay with what he did. Because, first of all, what did they offer him, like $50 million a year with an extension? And he turned it down. So you must really want to get out of town when you turn down a $50 million extension. And when he signed the deal, it was Mike D'Antoni as the coach, Daryl Morey as the general manager, Chris Paul was playing with him. Remember, they won 65 games in 2018. They got to a game seven. They were one game away from going to the finals, and then Chris Paul got hurt. And so the situation had changed considerably. And now I don't necessarily agree with the way he handled it. He dogged it. He came in out of shape. He didn't try. You know, he really forced their hand to force the trade. But I can kind of understand what happened there with the situation really changing. Watson, you know, as you know, it was just last September. He's crying how much he loves Houston. He gets this $40 million a year contract with a no trade clause, by the way. You know, I'm usually a player's guy, but you go in and you demand a no-trade clause, and then, like, 5 months later, you demand to get traded. I don't know if I got much sympathy for you. And here, Wilson's in the middle of a four-year, $140 million contract. He's only played 1 year under that contract, and it looks like he wants out as well. Again, I'm a player's guy, and I'm all for free agency, but I think that's the time. If you want to leave, you have the right to do that. You should have that right. I think free agency is the time to do that.
And the thing to consider, too, is that we know the reasonings why these guys want to leave. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that you're going to go to a place that has a better situation. The
grass is not always greener.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. I mean, take Deshaun Watson, for example. The best package that a team could probably put together would be the Jets. Now, they're still a year or two away, maybe 3 years away from being a real contender.
Well, I mean, is he aware of the history of the Jets?
Not only that, but I mean, did he watch the Jets' offensive line? It's not like Deshaun Watson's going to be given the keys and say, hey, you know, pick your team. You want to go to Kansas City here, you know, and play behind that offensive line.
Yeah, they got a guy. That's right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, Houston was terrible this past year. Their defense was terrible. You know what the Jets were? They were worse.
Yep.
I mean, they got the second pick. So, yeah, I mean, and has it been great in Houston? No, but they did go to the playoffs 4 out of 5 years. They did win a couple of playoff games. You want to go to Detroit, where they've won one playoff game since 1957? I mean, there are, you know, that's the thing. You force these trades, and you never know how it's going to turn out. We'll talk more about this whole idea of NBA, NFL players forcing trades, especially when they're in the middle of their contracts. I mentioned the Peter King trade scenarios. I want to get to that. But Ron, the draft is in late April. It's going to be fascinating. And the draft guru, one of the big ones, is out with some predictions, and they're pretty interesting. We'll talk about it next. This is Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And Tony D off, John Stashower in. Good to have you with us on a Friday morning, Sports Map Radio. So, Ron, you mentioned the draft, and it's late April, I think 29th. It starts in Cleveland. That's the plan anyway. We'll see how we are with the virus. You know, I thought it was actually pretty good last year when they just had Goodell in his basement.
That worked.
I mean, I understand that when they went to Vegas and the parties and the crowds are amazing. That it's amazing what the draft has become. But
yeah,
I don't really need all that. I just want to know what team is picking what players.
But the only thing I had an issue with was the pandering to the fake boo noise.
That was
a little corny.
Belichick giving his dog a little treat. You know, I mean,
it was great. Because yeah. I mean, let's face it, the draft has turned into an award show. Where first prize
is
a job.
That's all it is. It's guys that, you know, I don't need all the analysis.
No,
you watch a sporting event, you may not care who wins the game, but you might see a great catch or a slam dunk or, you know, you're watching an athletic competition. That's not the case with the draft. But you know who's been a big factor, I think, in the growth of the draft? Mel Kiper Jr. I mean, he's the guy. Before any of these other people did it, he, you know, and I did shows with Mel for many years at ESPN. I don't know what you think of him. I mean, I always, before I got to know him, I thought, this guy's a geek. And he is a geek, but he's one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. And he's just nice to everyone that he works with. And he's still getting it done. He keeps talking about, you know, hanging up his hair, but he's still doing it. So he revealed yesterday his first mock draft. And, you know, ESPN treated it like the 10 Commandments or something, you know. And what's interesting is that he has never done this before. He now, when he does a mock draft, considers possible trades. Like, he never did that before because he doesn't know, you don't know what trades are going to happen. So he would always just go along with whatever the draft order was, even though very often there's trades. This time he is projecting possible trades. So obviously, the intrigue begins after Jacksonville will take Trevor Lawrence. And this kid, Zach Wilson, is just, you know, flying up the charts where we didn't hear much about him. You know, BYU was really good, as you recall, but it's BYU, and we're not watching BYU. And we're hearing a lot more about Justin Fields. And I don't think there's any question that Zach Wilson is now ahead of Justin Fields. The question is, will he be the second pick? Will the Jets take him with the second pick? Will a team trade with the Jets and take Zach Wilson with the second pick? And the team that Mel has making that trade, the Atlanta Falcons. So here I mean, we were talking yesterday about teams that might make quarterback changes, and I didn't think Seattle, and yet now you got Russell Wilson apparently looking to get traded, and I didn't think Atlanta. Matt Ryan seems to me still is playing at a pretty decent level, and that team wasn't bad the second half of the season. Does that surprise you, the Atlanta Falcons, if they would to make that move to draft a rookie?
Well, is that part of Adam Schefter's 18 teams?
Yeah, definitely. It's a maybe, but I didn't think it would happen. I still don't think it would happen, but Mel apparently does.
No, it's just like what we were talking about just a second ago. Yeah, it would be surprising, but at the same time, it wouldn't, which is bizarre for the NFL to be in this situation, because one of the key positions, you know, that are usually locked in for years and years and years has always been the quarterback position. I mean, running backs come and go, wide receivers come and go. You pointed out a left guard, like, pfft, whatever.
Right.
But a quarterback, we know that there's really 32 spots in the entire planet.
And you know what? There aren't 32 good quarterbacks.
No, there isn't.
There's like 20 that are okay. You know, there's like 10 that are really good and 10 more that are pretty good.
But we're talking about, you know, we listed a couple of guys who are definitely in the top 20 of quarterbacks that
no question.
There's no chance you would move them.
I don't know what Atlanta would be fan, but anyway, that's a scenario, I guess, that's out there. So he's got Zach Wilson going to Atlanta, number two. And then Miami, this would be interesting because he's got Devontae Smith going to Miami, where he would be catching passes, unless they make a trade for Deshaun Watson, from Tua. So the two teammates from Alabama, they hooked up for a national championship game-winning touchdown. They would be teammates. The Jets would drop to four. Obviously, they would keep Sam Darnold because they wouldn't get they would have just taken the quarterback, I guess, at number two. A tight end from Florida, Kyle Pitts, And look, you do need to give Sam Darnold weapons if you're going to keep him. So that's what he's got. He's got Cincinnati looking to get the best tackle, the best offensive lineman in the draft, the kid from Oregon, Penei Sewell. You want to protect Joe Burrow. He's got Detroit taking Jamar Chase. And then as for the other quarterbacks, Carolina, who you would figure is looking for a quarterback, didn't really work out with Teddy Bridgewater. So Carolina taking Justin Fields, and New England, who definitely needs a quarterback. More than any team in the league, New England needs a quarterback. New England usually trades down, but he's got New England trading up and taking Trey Lance from North Dakota State. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to go to North Dakota State again.
That did happen once before, and it looked good early on and not so much later on.
Yeah. That well might be dry. I don't know.
There is another North Dakota State quarterback.
Of course there is.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. We got a long way to go. We got trades that could happen, you know, now and while we get closer to the draft. It's interesting how the NFL does it. You know, the NBA does the draft and then free agency. The NFL does free agency, then the draft. I don't know which is the better way to go. But I don't like the way that it takes so long. You know, the NFL likes to space things out.
Yeah.
To kind of win the offseason, have people talking about their sport throughout the offseason. But I'm not sure why we have to wait till April 29th for the draft.
Well, it's just one of those things where, you know, free agency, technically, what, doesn't really start until beginning of March?
What do they call it? The start of the season. I forget what they.
But you know, it's, you know, the rest of the country. You guys are supposed to be getting ready for college basketball. You're supposed to be getting ready for baseball. No. NFL is going to rear its ugly head again.
And it happens. I mean, it happened. I can remember being at an NC. Or,
oh yeah, of course.
Or an ACC tournament game, and then there was Brock Osweiler got signed or someone. And everyone was talking about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you're a month into baseball, maybe things are starting to kind of play themselves out in baseball. No. You know, football wants to have its draft now and dominate for, what, those 4 days.
So, you know, I mentioned those four quarterbacks, Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, and Lance. Todd McShay, and the other draft guru at ESPN, he, I think, has the four quarterbacks going as the first four picks, with obviously some wheeling and dealing going on in there. Now, that would really, we've seen three in a row. We've seen that, I think, on a couple of occasions. We've certainly seen two in a row. But how about the first four picks being quarterbacks? And you would think that NFL teams would be a little scared off, because look at the quarterbacks that have been taken at the top of the drafts in recent years. We had that year where it was Jameis Winston, then Marcus Mariota. Well, neither one is on the team that drafted him. Mariota might be moving to his third team. Both were backups this past year. And then just a few years ago, we had Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. Also, teams trading up to get those guys. I mean, Goff did go to a Super Bowl, but now he's on another team. And Wentz was considered an MVP candidate, and then he lost his job, and now he's on another team. So you would think NFL teams might be a little skittish about this whole idea of, oh, we got to get a quarterback, we got to trade up. I think the problem is they don't want to be the team that's left there, the music stops, and they don't have a guy. You know, as a Giants fan, I mean, when they drafted Daniel Jones a couple of years, it actually turned out pretty well. He looks like he can play, but they probably could have gotten him later. I think they had the 15th pick, and most people did not project him to go that high. They took him sixth because they didn't want to take the chance that they'd be left there without a quarterback. And I think that's what people are thinking for this year also. Because you can't tell me that these four quarterbacks are the four best players in the draft. And you know, I think the Jets, and I'm probably in the minority here, but I think the Jets would be smart to hold on to Sam Darnold and see what he can do if he gets some weapons. And if you can trade that second pick, knowing that teams would be so hungry to get it, you could get a lot in return. Speaking of getting what you could get in return, what could the Texans get for Deshaun Watson? We'll explore that. Coming up, I'm John Stashower, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening
the Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
John Stanshauer in this morning for Tony, alongside Ron. And Ron, there was a meeting yesterday somewhere down there in Houston, I guess. Deshaun Watson and the new coach of the Texans, David Culley. Which, by the way, was a pretty shocking pick, right? I mean, I imagine everyone in Houston was like, who's this guy? He's been in the league a long time. People say really good things about him, and they say he's a very personable guy and a guy that everybody seems to like. Didn't change Deshaun Watson's feeling about wanting to get traded. He met with Culley and then reiterated his desire to get traded. I like Watson. I mean, he's a very likable guy, and I like his story and what he's been through growing up and Warwick Dunn, you know, built his mom a house and all that, and what he, you know, and he's a terrific player. We talked before about, you know, this idea of, you know, with Russell Wilson in the middle of a contract, and Watson, I mentioned it. I mean, it was just a few months ago that he gets this big deal for $40 million a year with a no-trade clause, and now he wants the trade. And people said, well, you know, they traded his star wide receiver. Well, they had already traded DeAndre Hopkins when he agreed to the trade. Well, he doesn't like Jack Easterby. Well, what is Easterby's role in Houston? Because he's not the general manager. They just hired Nick Caserio, who's well-respected, many years in New England, built Super Bowl teams. Easterby still is employed, but I don't know why that would be the reason. He says he loves the city. I know they had a bad year, but they've had other decent years. They've been to the playoffs. New coach, so fresh start. What is the motivation here with Deshaun Watson, you think?
I think a lot of it stems from Jack Easterby. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what his official title is, but he's a character coach for the team. But he seems to have a huge influence on day-to-day operations with the team. And it's really driving the players nuts because he's not a football guy, but he is making football decisions. And that's, you know, I mean,
you got to really hate a guy to demand a trade, you know, 5 months after agreeing to a $160 million contract, just because there's a guy who's not, I mean, I don't know. Is he that evil? I mean,
I wouldn't say he's evil, but he's from what I've gathered down here is that it's this wedge that he's driving in. He has the right ear of Cal McNair, the owner of the Texans.
Right.
And anything Jack Easterby says, Cal McNair has been doing. And part of that issue, part of the problem where it stemmed from originally was that they were going to include Deshaun Watson on a lot of these decisions that were being made. Why that's a scenario nowadays, I'm not really sure because, you know, let's face it, you know, 20 years ago, players didn't have a say in anything. But I can see, like, you know, hey, you got your face of the franchise, your franchise guy, you know, help him make some decisions. And the way the Texans organization, ever since he signed that contract, the way that it's been run has been extremely frustrating for Deshaun Watson.
Clearly.
and this insertion of Jack Easterby where he's making this decision based on, you know, a character trait rather than a football mind. And that's really where all this is coming from. Now, Nick Caserio, that was the guy that Texans wanted last year.
Right.
And couldn't take him because it was tampering. And so they were like, well, you know, we'll just wait till he is available. And he became available, and they immediately snatched him up. I think that was the Texans plan the entire time. That's why they didn't hire a GM last year, and they just made Bill O'Brien GM.
Yeah, how'd that turn out? Yeah.
But David Culley, I think, was... I mean, first of all, I think you were just as shocked as the rest of the country when he was hired because I never
heard of him.
Never even knew David Culley existed before the moment before the Texans announced like he's the new head coach.
He's over 60, right?
He's over 60. Yeah.
Which is very rare to start your head coaching career at that age.
Yeah, and I think we're like part of the issue is that he's never held a coordinating position. I mean, he's been a coach for I think like 17 years or something like that. Something ridiculous.
There's a lot of guys like that. They've been around the NFL, but people don't know who they are.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact that, you know, when you would assume that when you take over a head coaching job that you have some experience in running a facet of a football team, you know, whether it's an offensive coordinator, whether it's a defensive coordinator, an assistant coach. You know, we've seen a lot of those where a special teams guy who's the assistant coach of the team, he gets a nod. David Coley's never been any of that.
But having said that, Ron, I mean, there are a lot of examples of guys who had a lot of experience as a coordinator and then were bad head coaches. You know, Todd Bowles is a terrific defensive coordinator. We just saw that. And he was a terrible head coach.
Who I think is probably one of the best offensive minds in the game, Norv Turner.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand him as my coach.
Wade Phillips could be in the Hall of Fame for the way he's coached defenses at multiple cities. And he was a bad coach in Dallas. So, and yet there's examples of guys like David Culley who get head coaching jobs.
And it turns into gold.
And they turn out really good. Mike Tomlin was, nobody knew who Mike Tomlin was
when
the Steelers hired him. So, he met with Culley. I don't know how the meeting went, but it wasn't
enough. Well, I can tell you how the meeting went.
Culley wasn't enough to change his mind.
Culley started offering up things, and Deshaun Watson was like, nope, just went out. Wow. And I don't know if that's, you know, if he's getting influence from people, from his entourage. We're not in Deshaun Watson's mind. Who's influencing his decision making through all this? But the fact is that Deshaun Watson is just so disgruntled over what's happened, what's transpired since the day he signed that contract. You know, whether it was DeAndre Hopkins being traded, whether it was just, you know, the lackluster performance for the team, or being promised, hey, you're going to be involved in some of the decision-making and then not being involved in any part of the decision-making. Whether all of that is just, you know, it's just one straw that just kept coming in one after another for Deshaun Watson to the point where he's like, I'm fed up with this organization. I want to go someplace new. I want to play somewhere where maybe he has a say. Maybe he, you know, it's just a fresh start. It may not be a great situation, but I think he's just looking for a fresh start at this moment.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see how it all turns out because, you know, the Texans could play hardball and say, hey, look, you're under contract. You want to sit out and not play? Fine.
Yeah, which is what?
$40 million a year that we're saving and you're not going to ever get back. But, you know, Le'Veon Bell sat out a year. The Steelers said, fine, we'll just play James Conner. He's just as good.
Yep.
But this is a quarterback, and you're not going to get a quarterback as good as Deshaun Watson. And so, you know, it doesn't serve your organization well to just play without him and be terrible again. And it also doesn't serve your organization well, you know, to force him back reluctantly, and then you have an unhappy Deshaun Watson. So
no, and you look at this draft class. I mean, there's some decent quarterbacks in this draft class.
So, look, Peter King puts out some trade scenarios, and I guess he's just doing this off the top of his head. I don't know, but he's, you know, covered this league for forever. I'll tell you, Ron, when you read these things that Peter put out, I mean, like, all right, let's say Carolina, right? Team that you would think would be interested. Teddy Bridgewater going back to Houston. Christian McCaffrey going to Houston. Robbie Anderson, wide receiver. First round pick this year, 8th overall. Second round this year. First round next year. And then throw in another third rounder. I mean, Houston be coming back with, you know, Bridgewater is kind of more of a journeyman, but you get McCaffrey, if he's healthy, he's one of the most dynamic players in the league. You're getting the 8th pick of the draft. You're getting another first rounder next year. It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. I just don't see Carolina doing that.
Yeah, well, that could be.
I can't see Carolina wanting to give up McCaffrey. I think they would give up a whole bunch of other players and try to build something around Deshaun Watson and McCaffrey.
I was surprised to see McCaffrey's name. You figured he was going to be there forever.
Yeah, Teddy,
but we'll see.
Teddy Bridgewater, that's a no-brainer. Yeah, any team that's going to take Deshaun Watson probably needs to throw their number one quarterback in there.
Back. But how about this scenario with the Jets? You get back Sam Darnold. You get Quinnen Williams, who was like the Jets' best defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
You get the first round. You get the second pick of the draft. Second. And you get a first rounder next year, and you get a couple of second rounders.
Now I can see that.
Now, would the Jets want to do that? I mean, it's fascinating.
So I can see
the... if I'm the Jets, and you got, I mean, Darnold hasn't been good, but you got so many other issues on the Jets. How does that help your team? Yeah, you're getting a better quarterback, no question. But, you know, look what happened with Deshaun this year when he didn't have weapons and they had a bad defense and then they won four games.
Well, not only that, but we can look to just more real recently, the Super Bowl. You know, what Patrick Mahomes had to go through in that Super Bowl is exactly what we've seen out of Deshaun Watson, what we've seen out of Sam Darnold. When you don't have an offensive line, you don't have time to do anything.
For any quarterback, no matter how good you are.
It doesn't matter. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is probably the best quarterback in the league, but he had no one in front of him. And, I mean, arguably made probably one of the greatest throws I've ever seen on a football field.
Parallel to the field, yeah.
Which should have been caught.
He threw some incompletions. Yeah, that was an incompletion. But
that wasn't his fault it was an incompletion. Yeah. I mean, he hit the guy in the helmet. That guy should have caught the ball.
And, you know, Watson, you've seen him make plays like that, too.
Oh, of course.
With his feet, he's great. But, yeah, I mean, again.
And the problem, I think, with Watson's game right now is that he's trigger happy because he has to be. Once he takes his three step back, or you know, if it's a seven step back, he is immediately trying to get rid of the ball because he knows any minute he's just going to get crushed.
Peter points out a scenario with the 49ers. Now, John Lynch, the general manager there, said, "Oh no, Jimmy Garoppolo, as long as he's healthy, will be our quarterback." But it's easy to say that in February.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Oh man,
how about Jimmy G, who you know has a great winning record? I mean, he has trouble staying healthy. But Jimmy G going back to Houston, linebacker Fred Warner, who's been their, I think, maybe their best defensive player, a starting tackle in Mike McGlinchey, first-round pick, 12th overall, another first-round next year, throw in a couple other more second- and third-rounders. It's another team. That's another big haul coming back. I mean, in any of those three scenarios, if you feel like this Deshaun Watson situation has, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube, and they can't ever fix this, and he's never going to be happy, and so you have to trade him. I think in any of these three scenarios, Houston's getting a pretty good haul coming back.
Oh, I think regardless of what happens, if a trade is to come down, it's going to be Herschel Walker 2.0.
Yeah, well, how'd that turn out?
Yeah, it turned out great.
Three Super Bowls because of that.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but I mean, it's not all, if you're a Texans fan, I mean, you probably love Deshaun, but it might not be all gloom and doom if you do have to trade him. If what Peter's projecting are accurate scenarios, I don't know about all these three teams wanting to make that trade. I don't know. If I'm the Jets, I'm not making that trade because you're just right. You're right back where you are. Okay, now you got a better quarterback. You need more than that.
Yeah.
And they need so much. So that's why I would keep Darnold, who I don't think got good coaching with Gaze and certainly didn't have weapons. And I would trade the second pick to a team thirsting for a quarterback. And I would try and stockpile and get as many picks as you can. Because you're not going from 2-14 to the Super Bowl, but you need so much. And that's, you know, it's great to have the quarterback. And we all know you need the quarterback. But you can't win with just the quarterback. I think we've all seen plenty of examples of that. So it's going to be fascinating, as we've said. All these scenarios involve draft picks. So something's going to happen, you know, probably in March, or maybe it goes right down to near the draft. But before the April 29th, something's going to happen. And I'm starting to think, you know, when I hear about Watson meeting with the coach and saying, "I don't care, I can't play here," I'm starting to think that this is a situation that's untenable and that he's actually going to get traded. I don't think Russell Wilson is going to get traded, at least this year. Maybe next year we'll see how the 2021 season turns out. Take a break. Good to have you with us on this Friday morning. I'm John Stashower at Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Tony off, John Stashow, we're in. We've done a lot of football this hour. We'll continue with it and maybe do some baseball. We got some spring training games starting up this weekend. Some tidbits from the NBA last night. Right now, it looks like the Sixers and the Nets are the two best teams in the East. Philly is 22-11, half game ahead of Brooklyn. Both teams won last night. Sixers beat Dallas by 14. The Brooklyn Nets have won 8 in a row, and 7 of those were without Kevin Durant. And they beat Orlando last night. Now, Orlando's not a good team, but they beat them by 37. They are the number one offensive team in the NBA. They have scored 120 or more 20 times, which is a club record, and they're not even halfway through this season. I assume they'll be even better with Durant. I mean, are they better without him? I doubt it. But how about losing Kevin Durant and still winning 8 in a row? The Clippers lost by 28 at Memphis. You know, we've been waiting for the Clippers. Do they ever take that next step forward? Maybe get at least to a conference final? You know, they're good, but what are you doing losing by 28 at Memphis? You know, the Clippers had a game earlier this year, very early in the year, where they lost to Dallas by 51. I mean, good teams, really good teams, don't have games like that. Washington suddenly winning. They won 5 of 6. They won in Denver. Nuggets have been a kind of a disappointment after they went to the conference finals last year. Milwaukee did get a win over New Orleans, a game where Giannis scored 38 and Zion Williamson scored 34 in the loss. And the Knicks put up 140 points. It's because they were playing Sacramento, who's got the worst defense in the league. Knicks have the worst offense, but they had it going last night. Kings have now lost 9 in a row. Another hour straight ahead. Friday morning, Sports Map Radio. I'm John Stashower.